If you have your Bibles this morning, I should like to call your attention to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. In the 28th chapter of Genesis, I'm going to just read verses 20 through 22. I was going to read 10 through 22, but we'll pick it up later. And Jacob vowed the vow, saying, "If God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." The 116th Psalms, the 12th verse that you've already heard in your hearing. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" And supporting scripture coming from Romans 12 and 1. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or a subject this morning, just a small payback. Just a small payback. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wonder how many of us have that conviction this morning and have committed themselves to that mere fact that I'm going with the Lord all the way. When I feel like going, I'm going. When I don't feel like going, I'm going. When I'm catching hell on the left and on the right, I'm going. Anybody hear me this morning? Hallelujah. When somebody done lied on me, I'm going on anyhow. Hallelujah. When I don't have any money, I'm going on anyhow. Any witnesses in the house this morning? Hallelujah. How many of you want to promise to the Lord that I'm going to go? Despite what I got to go through, I'm going on anyhow. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, we got to learn how to just go on anyhow, despite what you're going through, despite how hard it may seem. We got to understand this morning that God has a way of actually coming in and making things work out for the good. The Bible says, for those that love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, it doesn't mean that you got to do like anybody else do. But you, if you love the Lord, then you got some promises. You got an assurance from God that he has promised, "I would never leave you, neither will I forsake you." So the one thing that I can depend on, that I can count on this morning, is that God is yet still by my side. There comes a time in your life when you must just let God be God. We find ourselves trying to work our problems out and get things into perspective, and we want things in the right order, but sometimes we have to learn how to wait on God. We have an idea as to how things should be or how we want them to be. But I wonder, do we ever take time out to just ask the Lord for his actual guidance and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" You know, we say, and it was an old cliche here not long ago, that we had this thing that said, "What would Jesus do?" And now, it's not hard to know what Jesus would do, because Jesus was a man of love and compassion and full of grace and full of mercy. And he would do the right thing. He would do the thing that would be the best for the individual. Sometimes when someone has your best interests at heart, they may do some things that you don't totally agree with or you may not like, but at the same token, it may be for your best interests. And that's the way God works with us. God works with us in a way that we must understand that he wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. He don't want us to sit around in self-pity and feel like that we are doomed. And he don't want us to be wrapped up in so much guilt that we can't understand that he is yet a forgiving God. we got to understand that God is yet still a merciful God, and God is worthy this morning for all of the praises. Somebody may understand or may wonder this morning, why is it that the Lord has allowed me another chance, another day to be counted amongst the living? But for whatever reasons, the reasons that might be unknown to us, God has shown mercy and grace upon us and allowed us another opportunity, this blessed opportunity, to come into the house of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it is my hope and prayer this morning that we understand that we got to do what God would have us to do. We got to understand that we're not going to be here always, that we're going to leave this place. And James makes a statement this morning. He says, what is your life? Then he comes back with, it is even a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. So in other words, we're here today, but we're gone tomorrow. What is your life? It's only but a vapor, just a puff of smoke that appears for a little while. So we are not here to stay. It seems as though the longer we live and the more advanced our society become, the worse things get. The Bible declares that we should get wiser, but we would be weaker. Seems like we got so much sense, we don't even have sense enough how to treat one another. We're so intelligent, we forgot that we got everything that we do have come from the Lord. That there are those of us like to boast about what we have and what we've accomplished in life and what we've achieved. But everything that you got come from the Lord. And there comes a time in your life where you must just thank God for the things that you have. I might not have what William has, but whatever God has given me, let me thank God for that. And then let me not be so selfish or envious. Let me thank God for the blessings that He bestowed upon Brother William. We got to understand that God is a blessing God, and God wants all of us to be saved. He wants all of us to be His children that will be obedient to His will and to His call. There are those of us that feel like I can't do anything unless I'm in a particular position. You're in the right position right now. If you got ears that you can hear, the Bible lets us know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the word of God has a way of making things work out for your good. And I wonder this morning how many of you do believe that you were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. Many as you like to boast about, I'm grown and I can do what I want to do and don't nobody tell me nothing. Well, that might be true, but the word declared that you were bought with a price. And the price that Jesus paid, because we were doomed, we were on our way to hell. But the Lord loved us so much that John declares in his word that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the Son came not to condemn the world, but through Him we might be saved. That's love. That's not superficial love. That's not conditional love. That's not lip service love, but that's real love. A love that loved you so much that looked beyond your faults, looked beyond all of your wrongdoings, and still blessed you anyhow. Those of us that can declare that we are saved this morning, do you have mind enough to remember before you got saved? And when you were out there and you were doing your own thing and didn't care nothing about what nobody thought about it, didn't care anything about what even God thought about it. But in the midst of all of whatever you were doing, God was still watching over you. God was still taking care of you. All of those times that you didn't know or didn't understand, how did I make it home? It wasn't nobody but God. There may have been times that you've been in your automobile and you just sort of drifted off to sleep. And all of a sudden you caught yourself and everything got back in order. It wasn't nothing but God. There are those of us this morning that the doctor has diagnosed and told you that you'd have been dead a long time ago. But you're yet still counted amidst the living. It's nothing but God. I believe this morning that we owe God something. We ought to be willing to say yes to the Lord. Somebody in the house ought to have a yes spirit this morning. We ought to have a yes spirit. If God said, I want you to do, we ought to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Lord, I'll do it for you. The songwriter said that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. Anybody ever think on the goodness of Jesus? We are people that the only time we love the Lord is when we got a dollar in our pocket, or an extra dollar. Is that the only time we love God is when things are going in our favor? The only time that we can work for the Lord is when I'm getting my way? See, we got a whole lot of folk that won't praise God because they can't get their way. We got a whole lot of folk that won't get on the choir because they can't get their way. We got a whole lot of folk that won't even work in the house of God because they can't get their way. But I found out that the Bible says that God's way is the best way. And if you're not going to do it God's way, then you need to let it alone anyhow. Somebody in here is glad this morning that God saved them. Somebody's glad that God looked beyond their fault. Somebody's glad this morning that they got a mind to think like God would want them to think. Somebody's glad this morning that they didn't die and go to hell a long time ago, when they didn't have no love in their heart, when they were lying and talking about everybody and didn't have anything good to say. But somebody realized one day that I got to change my way of living. I got to change the conversation that I have. I can't run my brother down. I got to love my brother. I got to realize that God want to bless me. And if I want to be blessed by the Almighty God, I got to learn to look beyond myself. See, some of us are so selfish that all we see is self. As long as I got what I got and I want what I got, then everything is going to be all right. But when I can look around in my life and remember the time when I didn't have very much and God was still good to me, I can still tell the Lord, thank you. When I look back on the days when I had a pair of blue jeans. Oh God, I hated blue jeans then. Had to wear them all week long. You get home and you got to take them off when you get out of school. See, some of us done forgot where we come from. But I remember a time when I had school clothes and they were meant for school. And I got tired of wearing them blue jeans. But when I got her old enough to get me a job, I learned how to use the layaway program. And I went down the belts on Main Street and I laid me a pair of well dress pants. And I got me another pair of dress pants. And I got me another pair of dress pants. And after a while, I didn't wear blue jeans for a long time, until they came back in style. And you were out of style if you didn't have any jeans. And you know how I am. I like to be a little bit in style. So I found me a nice pair of jeans. But there's a way to do anything. Don't forget where you come from. See, I realized at an early age that the thing that my mama could not afford. But I had to take whatever she had to give. Some of us. Let us go back for a minute. When we did most of our shopping at Grant's and Relish's. Anybody know about those stores? Hallelujah, Jesus. There wasn't any Walmart. And many black folk didn't go to Belts. Many of us didn't have money. We didn't hear about no mall. But you find your way downtown. And right there on the corner, there was our store. But we could get anything that we could afford. And if you just cross over the street, right there by the jewelry box, you know that jewelry store where you could have the layaway program and get you a little diamond or this, that, or the other. But what I liked was the 5 and 10 cent store that hung out on the next door. Hallelujah, Jesus. Every time there was a parade, I say, Mama, I need a little bit of change. Cause that popcorn be smelling good downtown. We better remember where we come from and understand that God has been too good, and we are too blessed to sit down on God, to treat the house of God any kind of way. And I believe it's about time that we answer David's question. David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? Well, I stop by to tell you, all that you need to do, just a little payback. Just a small payback. That's all you're going to need. Now, I didn't mean to get that far. I ain't even got off the first page yet. I didn't even know I remembered them stories like that. Somebody might be wondering, why is there a sense of obligation or feeling of indebtedness that we have when we just realize that we got to give back something? If you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then you should have a spirit of gratitude toward the Lord for the things that he has done in your life. Now, David says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. He's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And my life, sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Anybody had any trouble? Amen. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Bible said, gracious is the Lord and the righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple, and I was brought low, and he helped me. The Bible said, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thou hast been delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I have spoken. In my life, David said that I have been greatly afflicted. But I said in my haste that all men are liars. But David realized at this moment in his life that I'm grateful to God for hearing me when I called out to him. I'm grateful to God that when trouble and even death came into my life, I still trusted in the power of God. David is saying that I realized that there were times when I didn't have very much. But even in those times, I'm still going to trust the Lord. David realized that I don't know what I'm going to do, but God has been so good to me. And I'm so grateful then. I need to know, what can I give back to God for all that he's given unto me? Now, somebody in this house this morning need to think about these words of David. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? Now, there are those of in here that might say that I'm still going through. But you got to understand that there's somebody in a worse condition than you are. There's somebody in here that said, I'm catching hell on every side. But let us understand that in this life, you're going to have some trials and tribulation. But the Lord thy God said, be of good courage. We got to understand that there comes a time in your life when you got to give back to the Lord thy God. Now, there's somebody that might say, I don't have many material possessions. I don't have a lot of money. I'm on a fixed income and I don't have very much that I can give. Well, Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that if you don't have material blessings, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, what is yielded in one's own body. You got to ask the Lord to give you your mind and your soul, that you can give it back to the Lord thy God. I may not have a lot of money to give, but I can give God back something that he gave to me. I'm reminded that we get so caught up this morning when you talk about giving back to the church. We'll go to Malachi 3:8 and say, will a man rob God? And the Bible say, yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Well, now, you know, I don't really preach tithes, but there comes a time that you got to do what God said do. When I looked at the Sunday school lesson, and I realized that this man by the name of Jacob realized that he had a whole lot going for himself, but he promised the Lord to give back a tenth. Now, the tithe is the practice of giving a tenth of one's income or property as an offering back to God, which was an ancient Jewish practice. Now, if you look in the New Testament, you will never find where it said that Christians ought to tithe. But we are called to be faithful, cheerful stewards, So we got to be a cheerful giver and give back to God for the thing that God has given us. We got to understand this morning that there comes a time in your life that you got to do what God would have you to do. When you look at your life and realize how blessed you are and how much the Lord has done in your life, you got to ask yourself a question: what can I give back? What can I give back to the Lord for all that he's done for me? I'm glad to know this morning that there is somebody that got their own mind to serve God in any way that they can. I'm going to give God all that I have this morning. And if I don't have the money, I give him back my hands. I give him back my mind. And I let the Lord know whose side that I'm on. But when I think about our text this morning, there was a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob vowed within himself that he was looking for God. And as he was looking for God, he found out that God had been so good to him that he had to give back something to God. Now, Jacob was the twin brother of Esau, the son of Isaac and Rebekah. He was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was the one that in one night he experienced a dream that God had angels descending and ascending upon a ladder. For the Bible lets us know this morning that Jacob was the man that stole his brother's birthright. He tricked his brother into getting the birthright. And after Jacob got the birthright, Jacob began to realize that he had it going on. But Esau got bare mad down on the inside. And Esau had anger in his heart. Esau said, if I get my hands on Jacob, there'll be no more Jacob. But Jacob's mother, Rebekah, realized that I love my son. And if my son want to live this morning, he better get on up out of here. So when we get to the 28th chapter, the Bible says Jacob went out from Beersheba going toward Haran. Jacob was on the run for his life. He had to get away out of the land that he was in. But I'm glad to know this morning that wherever you go, the Lord will always be right there. The Bible says that he lighted upon a certain place. And when he got there, it was dark on the outside. And Jacob was weary down in his body. Well, now Jacob had to leave home in such a hurry that he didn't have time to take any provision. He didn't get a knapsack. He didn't get any food. But he realized that I'm tired and I need to lay my head down. The Bible says that Jacob took a stone and he used that stone for a pillow. And when he laid his head down on the pillow. Now think about Jacob now. Jacob is running for his life. His brother is a great hunter. And he's thinking in his mind, my brother might be right behind me. Think about when your mind is crowded. When you're going through some trouble in your life. You just can't lay down and go right off to sleep. You're thinking about what could happen and what might happen. See, I believe Jacob was troubled. He began to wonder, if my brother going to catch up with me or not? If he catch me, he's going to kill me. But anyway, God allowed Jacob to go off fast asleep. Now, the Bible says Jacob was asleep, laying there on the pillow, that he began to have a dream. And as Jacob dreamed, there was a staircase that came from the earth that went all the way up into the heavens. And as he looked on that staircase, the Bible said there were angels of God, ascending and descending, going back and forth from the earth and back up to heaven. But the Bible said that at the top of the staircase, that there was a man that said with a voice that I am the Lord thy God. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of your father Isaac. I'm the God of those ones that lived on before you. And I want to let you know tonight that you are a blessed seed. And this ground that you're laying on, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to bring it back to this land. You might be on the run now, but I got provision made for your life. You're going to be blessed by a multitude of blessings. The same promise that I gave to Abraham that passed on down to Isaac is passing on down to you now, Jacob. And everything is going to be all right. Jacob realized that the Lord is on my side. Anybody in the house know that you got the Lord on your side? When Jacob realized that he had God on his side, Jacob said in a word. But when he woke up early in the morning, he realized that this ground, this is holy ground. for the Lord God must have been here. I can feel the presence of the Almighty God. I tell you what, God, if you will continue to give me bread to eat, give me clothes to go on my back, if you just bless me to come back to the house of peace, then everything is going to be all right. And what I want to let you know, that if you did this for me, what I'm going to do this morning, I'll give back a tenth of everything that you gave me. So I want to let you know this morning that out of all of your abundance, all God asks for is just a small payback. All God asks for is for you to have a mind of gratitude. If God had done anything for you, and you know the Lord blessed you and brought you a mighty long way, then you ought to be like Jacob. Jacob realized that I want to make a memorial. For the Bible says that he put those stones together. And that stone that he laid his head on, he poured oil on that stone. And after he poured the oil on it, he said, this is the house of God. That city that he was in became Bethel, which means the house of God. Jacob realized that I done been blessed by God. And if God keep on feeding me, if God keep on clothing me, then he can be my God. See, Jacob has some conditions that if God did what he needed him to do, then he'd do what God wanted him to do. So I want to tell somebody this morning, all you got to give is just a small payback. A small payback for what God has given you. When the Lord has given you something, and you began to think of his goodness, then you gotta want to give back. And God didn't ask for all of it. You got 100%. God said, give me back a tenth of it. And let us not get bent out of shape in our givings. It is an obligation back to God. That's what he said. He said, Lord, you've been so good to me. And there are those of us in this house this morning that we can get up and witness and declare that the Lord said that he'd feed me when I got hungry. And we've been eating. The Lord said that he'd give us somewhere to lay our head. And I don't think anybody in here is homeless this morning. So when God has did his part, then what we need to do is have the right attitude about our blessings. It's a personal thing. Not a thing that you got to boast about. You know, sometimes when things come up in your life and you hear conversations out in the street, and when people have a need, they think the church can give it everything. The church got it. Well, now, if you don't bring it, how the church going to have it? That is why those tithes were taken up. So that they could help those that were poor. So they could help those that did not have. But they gave of the abundance that God had blessed them with. So that's what our tithing and our giving is all about. And let us to understand that even though that was in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, for those of us that like to say we're in the time of grace, then Jesus says that through your grace, through your mercy, have a compassionate spirit. And be a cheerful giver to give back to God. You are not giving it to the preacher. You are not giving it to the officers. You are giving it to God. And then when you give it to God, you know, it is a crazy thing to sit at home and get mad about the church money. When it's supposed to be church money. See, we have a tendency that we want things our way. But God wants us to do things his way, to be obedient, to do things decently and in order. No one knows like you know what your provisions are. So you give according to as God has blessed you. But what Jacob is saying to us this morning, Jacob is saying that out of all that the Lord has done for me, nobody told him that he had to, but he volunteered himself. He said, I'm going to make a vow, Lord. If you do that for me, then out of everything you give me, I'll give back the tenth. And what God has said to us this morning, through the words of David, you ask yourself the question, what shall I render unto the Lord? for all of his benefits towards me. And it's not always about the money. And that's why Paul says, if you would offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God,